This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
This is the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Who let those guys up here?
Well, well, well. How the turntables.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Welcome into the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio alongside Josh Beard. He's in for Andrew Carlson today. I don't know if that's technically true. Andrew Carlson is officially leaving me. We have divorced amicably. Just kidding. He is leaving me. Andrew's moving to the Sunday show. As BMAC and Sean would say, he has been promoted to the Sunday show. And is leaving me, and starting next week, it will be myself and Dell from 12 to 2. Dell officially back, so it'll be Andrew, Sean, and BMAC on the Sunday show, and then myself and Dell here on Saturday. But I brought in you, Josh.
Yeah,
for today.
I like being the precursor to Dell. That way, he has to come in and try to outshine me next Saturday whenever he does his first show with you. And when it doesn't work out for him, just tell him that Josh said sometimes it be like that.
It be like that?
Sometimes it be
like that. It just be like that.
Yeah.
Josh Chavance. Yeah. We got it now. Behind the glass on Twitter at IMJChevy. Josh Beard is on Twitter at Josh Beard Radio. And I'm on Twitter at Joe George Radio. You guys can get in here at 713-780-3776. Let me know your thoughts on the Astros game last night. The deadline. We are on Hug Watch officially, less than 10 days away from the MLB trade deadline coming up on August 1st. We got running backs that don't want to get paid or want to get paid but can't get paid.
Yeah, I think it's the opposite. Like, very much want to get paid.
They want to get paid. Yeah. They can't get paid. But we'll start with last night's game because Kyle Tucker, baby. Woo! Three dingers. Kyle Tucker is playing elite, elite baseball at the moment.
He is... It's hard to understand because for so long, so many people were like, oh, use Kyle Tucker. Like, he was the guy that you talked about. Like, use Kyle Tucker in a trade. Or why don't we dangle Kyle Tucker to another team? Or can Kyle Tucker step up and be that next guy? I just don't see it in him. And now he's gone from that to, like, he is the linchpin of what this team is going to do now and moving forward.
Yeah.
Like, the bank account needs to be unloaded for Kyle Tucker, in my opinion, because he has now become the heart and soul of what this team does and what that lineup does.
Kyle Tucker has he and Mauricio Dubon, which is a crazy name to say, Alex Bregman of recent, they've really been carrying this team without Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez. Last night we were at the Space Cowboys game, a bunch of us from the station, and we got to see Yordan Alvarez firsthand. He should be back on Monday, in my opinion. He looked great yesterday. His first hit was like a fly ball. I don't even know if it got to the warning track. I think it did, but like it was so effortless.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine being like a Triple A pitcher.
Yeah,
and you see Yordan Alvarez standing across from you. Like that's got to be like the most intimidating thing in the world. It was hilarious watching the fans around us because at one point Alvarez caught a ball in left field and he tried to throw a guy out at third base.
Yeah,
and the throw was just really good, but everyone like freaked out. And like the guy was safe. But everyone was like cheering like he was out because it's like, oh, Yordan did something great. Oh, my God.
Let's go, Yordan. If I were an opposing pitcher going against Yordan Alvarez, I actually wouldn't be upset at all. I'd be just content in my loss. Like I would at that point, I'd just look at that and be like, there's literally nothing I could do right here. Like, now, if on the flip side of that, if you strike Yordan out, how sick would that be? Oh, it's not going to happen, but if you did.
The coolest thing ever.
Yeah, you're like, I'm the guy who struck out Yordan in AAA. Like, that's sick. But I wanted to go to that game. I was very jealous that you were at that game. I was listening to both you and BK y'all interviewing Corey Lee. Great Corey Lee interview yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know what was better, the Corey Lee interview, the show itself, or Brad Kelner airmailing his first pitch.
Did he really?
It's on the ESPN.
I didn't get to watch
at it. ESPN 97.5 on Twitter. It's there. Joel Blanks is there. College pitcher right down the middle.
Yeah.
Corey Lee apparently said, oh, you've done this before. Okay, Joel.
yeah, I feel like Joel's just adding a little extra flavor on there.
BK?
He's a man of his word.
He said he wouldn't bounce it.
He said he wasn't going to bounce it, and he'll throw it over the catcher. And did he throw it over the catcher?
Like, he looked like he could have probably got that thing from second to Corey Lee. It was so high.
Well,
like,
Corey did say, just don't bounce it. It doesn't matter if you overthrow him. Just don't bounce the ball.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Go for velo.
If you throw it 10 feet over his head, isn't that the same as bouncing? Because technically it's going to bounce to Corey Lee.
Yeah.
Because it bounced off the backstop.
It's just a different way about. But he didn't bounce it 10 feet in front of him. That's all that really matters.
That's true.
I've done that before. It doesn't feel good.
Rafael Montero, another thing, and Kyle Tucker's playing incredible baseball. What he's done is carried this offense while Yordan Alvarez has been out. Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker were pretty much playing the same level of competition last night. One was in AAA and one was in Oakland. So it's like it's pretty much the same exact thing because Oakland's trash. But
it was actually a rehab game for all the Astros last night, too. It was just like an extra night off. It's like batting practice.
Yeah, the only thing I would love for the Astros, you know, we're two games into this Oakland series of the four. I would love for, you know, not to have to use Ryan Pressly against the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
Like, can we, like, avoid using the high leverage guys against one of the worst teams in baseball? Just smash them. But Ryan Pressly got his 100th save last night of his career. 99 of them have come with the Houston Astros.
That's so awesome. And I actually did get to see that. Funny story, I did not get to see the Kyle Tucker third home run.
Why not, Josh? Did you lose power?
Didn't lose power. Well, I didn't lose electrical power.
Was one of your kids, you know, mouth it off? You
nope,
had to put
nope.
him in timeout?
Nope. I
forgot to pay the TV bill?
Yeah.
No, I'm good on bills. I make sure we pay the bills on time. I fell asleep.
Oh.
I straight up fell asleep.
Old man Josh.
Last night was the first time I realized how freaking old I am. Like, I still walk around like I think I'm 25. I'm inching closer and closer to 40 every single day. I feel like I'm 70 in my joints and in my bones. And in last night, I ate dinner, sat down on the couch, and fell asleep. I'm going to say something my dad always used to say. I'm going to say something I never thought that I would say. Back when we worked down the street, I'd stay up till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. playing video games, doing whatever. I'm out by 9 o'clock now, dude. Like, that's how my life has flipped upside down almost just randomly on a dime.
So you're saying my son goes to bed later than you.
Your son goes to bed later than me.
My 2-year-old.
Yeah, I'm going to say something I never thought I'd say. My dad used to say it all the time. These West Coast games are too late. And I used to love them. I hate them now.
But there's a pitch clock.
I don't care. I need games to start at 4 p.m. at the absolute latest. That way they're done before my bedtime.
Look, this is the weekend. Anything goes.
That's true. Yeah, I'll be in bed by 10 o'clock tonight,
so,
though. Promise.
Do I know where this call's going to go? Does Ryan like Dell? Is Ryan upset I'm bringing back Dell? Ryan, what are your thoughts?
Yes, sir. Are you guys sure the guy that brought all the negativity to the bench and it still surrounds the bench, you sure you want to get Dell on the show? I'm just saying. Just saying.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Dell is a negative person sometimes. I am here to bring the positivity. I'm here to wear the Homer hat on Saturdays for Dell.
That's a good well, you need that. Like that's the best part about doing shows like this is you need sometimes you and I think too similarly. Like we're both very positive people.
Mm.
Every once in a while you need a Dell. You need a guy who's a little negative. Now, saying Dell is a little negative sometimes is like saying I like cake sometimes. No, that's just an all the time thing, and I'm probably gonna sneak eat it in my car later on because I said the word cake. But you do need that, like, alternative viewpoint. That's what we'll say. Dell's not negative. He just brings an alternative viewpoint to the show.
I think that's a fair way to say it. But, look, the Astros are playing really solid baseball right now. The Dodgers did a favor for the Astros last night. They actually beat the Rangers, something that hadn't happened since the start of the second half of the season. And you know, with a three-game series approaching, with, you know, two games before that in between, the Astros are three games back of the AL West once again. And if you can be, you know, if you can get a favor from the Dodgers and take care of your own business and be two games back of the Rangers, you know, starting on Monday when that Rangers-Astros series begins, that's awesome. Because I think Yordan Alvarez is going to be back. Jose Altuve won't be back yet. He hasn't started his rehab appearances. Jose Urquidy could be back late next week, I would guess. I think he's going to do one more rehab start. He pitched 45 pitches in his last outing for the Space Cowboys. So my guess is he's going to do one more, and then he'll be up in the big leagues once he's fully stretched out. So the Astros are in a solid spot. The fact that we've had all these injuries, everything has gone wrong this season. You've had months where Alex Bregman was terrible. You had 2 months where Jose Abreu looked like the worst contract in all of baseball and one of the worst signings in probably franchise history. So now he's consistently going, and Kyle Tucker's playing at elite level. Like, everything is just as bad as it's been. You're in striking distance still of the Rangers series. But last night does make two starts in a row in which the Astros offense got it together, and Framber Valdez came out the other side and kind of fell apart.
Yeah, and honestly got lucky. He got lucky that the bats turned it on, because there's been a lot of games where he's been absolutely lights out and the bats did nothing to help him out. He's been lucky in the last two starts that the bats have been there for him. And I'm not worried about Fromm. I think what you said is what's craziest to me. They're three games out in the AL West. Mm-hmm. They're fourth in the American League. They're one of the best teams in the league. And they have had some of their top players either not producing or they've been hurt. It's not even just Fromber. Christian Javier, there's been some issues with his velo. It looks like they're getting on top of him a little bit more than they have before. Hopefully he turns it around. Fromber, he's had a couple of bad starts. Hopefully he turns it around. We get some of these injured guys back. Maybe some moves get made at the trade deadline that we might talk about later. There's a lot of things that can happen to turn. We're talking about a team that's in fourth place in the American League, and they have the opportunity to, quote, turn it around. And that's what's so exciting about catching this back half of the season, because if we do start to see some of those changes, we get some of those guys back healthy, we get Yordan back, with Abreu batting the way he is, with Dubon batting the way he is, Tucker batting the way he is, and then you add Yordan Alvarez to that lineup, oh my God. Talk about AAA pitchers that don't want to see that. There's no professional pitcher in the MLB that wants to see that slog of a lineup.
Yeah, look, and I think that when I look at the Fromber last two starts, to me it's really more just like he's had some bumps in the road. Yeah.
He's having issues with location.
Yeah, weirdly. It's nothing to be like massively concerned about. I do find it intriguing that he has a really solid outing in his last start, not last night, but then the offense puts it together. He's in the dugout for 20 plus minutes.
Yep.
And then that's kind of when he falls apart. Yep. And then that's what happened again last night, was when the Astros were batting for a while. Fromber kind of falls apart a little bit on the other side as well. You know, and obviously he had like the weird cramp injury thing that happened in that last start before last night as well. So, like, there's no concern with Framber Valdez. Mm-hmm. He is right now still, I believe, the favorite to win the Cy Young in the American League. He has been an absolutely dominant pitcher.
Yep.
The last two starts just haven't been great. But to me, like, it means nothing, because I trust Framber.
That's kind of the starting rotation in general, though, where I feel like 95% of these starts for these guys, especially Hunter Brown, Christian Javier, and Fromber, 95% of these starts, they look really, really good, and there's just one inning where they fall apart. Like, they look like they're just completely lost.
Yeah.
And that's been all of them. And that's what's so frustrating to see, is to see multiple really good outings from these guys, and they have, like, four, five, six good innings, and then they can't hang in like the seventh or the sixth, or maybe it's like right in the middle. I think Hunter Brown had a game a couple of games ago where he fell apart in the second inning.
Yeah.
And then he looked like a Cy Young candidate in the next two.
His last game, he gave 3 runs in the first, and he was pretty good the rest of the game. So, like,
yeah.
And he's one of those guys. Look, last year he pitched like 129 and 2/3 innings roughly, including the playoffs. This year he's already at 99.
Yeah.
And last year was the most he's ever done in one inning. Just before we go to break, we are on Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Josh, I did want to get your reaction real quick,
okay.
Josh Beard,
okay.
To our new wall. We have the Wall of Fame.
Yeah.
And then we have the Wall of Jail. We apparently have O.J. Simpson and Michael Vick jerseys hanging in our studios now.
We need to figure out who's going to get added to the Wall of Jail next.
They're also autographed.
That's my favorite part is the fact that they're autographed.
Like, that is an O.J. Simpson autographed jersey. I told Frank I might steal it. Like,
just steal the O.J. Simpson
jersey? Look, we've got Nolan Ryan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Earl Campbell, Michael Vick, O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson's the one that I want.
It makes a ton of sense to have O.J. Simpson on the same – up on the wall, the same names as Nolan Ryan and Hakeem
Wall of
Olajuwon.
Fame, yeah. Wall of Shame. We got two separate – they're two different walls,
The inmate wall.
The inmate wall. Locked up. We did it. Say, hey, we get Aaron Hernandez next. Like, what's going on?
I wanted to tell that joke, but I didn't know if it was too far. And you stole it from me.
Of course, it's not too far. Yeah. He's Josh Beard, Josh Chevy behind the glass. I'm Joe George. Coming up next,
ESPN.
His pork chop. I want his life.
This is the Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Joe George and Josh Beard here on the Bullpen with you till 2 o'clock. My kitchen is dirty on Twitch says NFL merch store wouldn't let me get a Ray Ruth jersey. Perennial All-Star says we need a Ryan Leaf jersey.
Oh, that'd be a Ryan Leaf. Which one does he go on? Does he go on the Hall of
Shame?
Fame? Oh,
definitely
okay.
Shame.
I have a question. Where would a Ray Lewis jersey go?
In the middle?
Just covering up everything?
You're not really sure what side of the law he's on.
You just
got to
put him in the corner,
Because like, it's like he definitely killed someone, we think.
Allegedly. We think
killed someone.
So, are we going to tell Houston that we still have a signed Deshaun Watson jersey in the hallway that we pass every day?
That goes in the middle, too.
Because he hasn't gone to jail.
Yeah, it's just a gray area. I think it's morally gray area people go in the middle.
The King of Twitch just said Watson. I think we get the Deshaun Watson jersey in here at some point. But do we have to get a Browns jersey or do we get a Texans one? I mean, the Texans one's signed, so it would like follow in with like what we have.
I think all of his alleged crimes happened while he was a Texan, so I think we have to do the Texans jersey.
Yeah, I agree. Who else should we add to our Wall of Shame? 713-780-3776. We have O.J. Simpson and Michael Vick. Other nominees, Ryan Leaf, Aaron Hernandez, Deshaun Watson, and Ray Caruth. And I guess Ray Lewis. He might come after us if we do that. We could add some
baseball.
I'm not
afraid of Ray Lewis.
We could add like Jose Canseco.
How about a new rookie NBA in the NBA, Brandon Miller.
Ooh, Brandon Miller?
That's a good one.
That could be good, too.
Right there in the middle.
Yeah.
Right
there. Are you saying he's a criminal because he's because of the contract that he's going to make as the number two overall pick and he fouls more than he scores points? Or
I don't think that's quite what I was thinking, but that's a good enough reason.
That other thing.
Right.
All right, so let's get into the Astros trade deadline. So the MLB trade deadline is less than 10 days away, August 1st, 3 o'clock. So right as the Killer Bees ends and the Wheelhouse starts, the trade deadline will end on that Tuesday. And look, there's a lot of different things they can do. And a lot of people have different beliefs on what the priority 1, 2, and 3 are for the Astros. I think there's a fair argument, Josh, that they could use a starter, a bullpen arm, and a bat. You know, my personal belief is that the bat is not necessary. That when you look at this team and you have Yordan Alvarez coming back and Jose Altuve back with the way Chaz McCormick is playing, he's hitting 400 this month. You know, there's really an argument that Chaz McCormick could be AL Player of the Month.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker might have taken it from him last night, to be honest. But there's a real argument that Chaz, like, he's played elite level center field as a hitter. His defense is still not always great, but it's really good. I don't think you need to add a bat with Altuve and Alvarez coming back because your left fielder, you know, between Jake Myers and Corey Jolks and Mauricio Dubon, like, that's your left field DH and Yonier Diaz. Like, to me, the perfect lineup, when everyone's back healthy, it's in left field. This is where it's not perfect because I don't want Yordan Alvarez in the field. It's Yordan Alvarez in left because Dusty's going to play him out there. He was in left field in Sugar Land last night, so like that's a clear eight. He's not just going to be a DH.
Right.
And center field is Chaz, right's Tucker. And then you got Bregman, Pena, Altuve, Abreu, and your catcher. I would prefer to not be Maldonado. It's going to be Maldonado, and Diaz is your DH.
Yep.
I would like it even more if, like, Dubon was in left field or something, and Alvarez was your DH and Diaz is your catcher. But, like, that doesn't scream need an outfield.
Right.
Now, Perennial All-Star says Cody Bellinger is hitting .318. Yes, please. Cody Bellinger would be a great addition to this team. He really would be. If Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman are cool with Cody Bellinger, then let's do it. He's a rental. It's not going to be super expensive. That makes a lot of sense. But just right now, if I'm Dana Brown, a hitter is not my priority. A starter is my number one priority.
Yes. And look, I talked to you about this before the show because there have been rumblings. It's more hypotheticals than anything else about Dylan Cease being available. And there are routes the Astros could take to get a starter like Dylan Cease. So will you go with me on a crazy journey for just a second of what I think? This is a wild – I saw Climbing Talus Hill kind of put this idea in my head with a couple of their suggestions. But what if – and, God, people are going to get mad at this. What if we did trade Jeremy Pena for Dylan Cease and then went to the Royals to ask about Bobby Witt Jr.?
Oh.
So trade prospects and some others – for Bobby Witt Jr., bring him into shortstop, and then trade Jeremy Pena for Dylan Cease.
I would love Bobby Witt Jr.
Oh, it'd be amazing. You'd have to give up a lot for him, but he's 23 years old, and he's incredible.
Yeah, and if we go back to, you know, earlier this week, I was filling in for Jeremy. I was hosting the Killer Bees with Joel, and that was the day after John Heyman reported the Astros, you know, dream is to acquire Dylan Cease. Michael Schwab then followed up that report with saying that they've explored the opportunity or the possibility of acquiring Luis Robert and Dylan Cease.
Yes.
Joel and I, for like 30 minutes on Tuesday, tried to workshop a deal that, you know, you get Dylan Cease for 2.5 years, you get Luis Robert for like 5 or 6 more years. He's locked up for a long time. The deal that I workshopped with Joel is Hunter Brown, Jeremy Pena, Luis Garcia, and Spencer Arrighetti.
Oh, that just feels so...
It's a lot, but Dylan Cease, second behind Justin Verlander in the Cy Young last year. Not as good this year, but he is an elite-level starter, and you have two of the best pitchers in the American League in your rotation. It's the closest you could get to Verlander and Cole today.
Yes,
is having Fromber and Cease back-to-back 1-2. And then
that'd be
Robert, dirty
in the playoffs.
Luis Robert is locked up for a long time. He's your Kyle Tucker replacement. You don't pay him. The most expensive his deal gets is $20 million on these last 2 years. Our club options in 2027 and 2028. So, or I think it's 26 and 27. So, like, it's you have a guy long term. There's no chance in hell the White Sox are doing that. But if they called you and said, we want Pena, Hunter Brown, Luis Garcia, Spencer Arrighetti, or like a Drew Gilbert, would you do it for those two guys?
Oh, Drew Gilbert would be tough. That's a tough one for me to give up. Like, I know Pedro Leon's sitting there. We've got Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers. So there are a lot of options at
Luis
center
Roberts,
field.
Roberts, your center field.
I know that's true. That one would be tough. I don't know. I think I do that because what wins World Series? What wins playoff games? It's pitching.
Yep.
And when you could have a 1-2 punch of a 1-2-3 of Fromber and then Cease and then Christian Javier, like, that's a tough three-pitcher rotation to try to make it through in a playoff series.
Yeah, and I really don't believe – I think there's a chance. I think Dylan Cease could be made available. Like, the best way to explain this is that if the Astros were the disaster joke franchise that the White Sox were, this conversation would be, would you be trading Yordan Alvarez and Framber Valdez? Even though, like, you still believe in those two guys and you want to build around them, like, that's what Cease and Robert are to the White Sox. It just seems totally illogical that they would trade those guys. So, to me, it's you got to go get a starting pitcher. I think with what you've seen from Javier and Hunter Brown, that's a huge necessity.
Yep.
And then I add relief pitcher to that as my number two.
Agreed.
Because you have four guys in the top 10 appearances in all of Major League Baseball. These guys are gassed. They're pitching so much.
Yes.
Like, you just need a really good arm. Frankly, I think you could – I'd like to see, like, a high-level bullpen guy. And, frankly, I just – someone that is, like, an inning eater. Like, this is where, like, a Matt Moore from the Angels comes in that, like, can go 2 or 3 innings at a time. Honestly, it doesn't matter if he sucks. Like, he's just going to be there to get beat up and just save your arms sometimes.
Well, and getting a hot getting an above-average relief pitcher isn't going to cost you a lot. Like,
no.
it never costs that much.
And just to have that, I think that'd be perfect. That middle reliever, the guy that can eat up some innings if there's a bad start by Hunter or there's a bad start by Christian Javier, you don't feel as bad about bringing another guy in because then you have that extra arm in there. I think that'd be absolutely great. I love the idea of Dylan Cease. Like I saw that and I've seen people talking about that, and I just think he would fit so perfectly with this starting rotation. So for me, I'm in the same boat. It's starting pitcher first, relief pitcher second. But my harebrained idea, I think Jeremy Pena and another piece or two could potentially get you Cease. And the Royals are bad. They're very bad. And if they're willing to move on from Bobby Witt,
yeah,
they'll want prospects. And so I think all it costs you is prospects and maybe one guy.
The idea, like, I love Bobby Witt.
I could pull it off because I'm an amazing tactical asset management mastermind. Mm. I don't know if the Astros can do that, though.
Yeah, look, this is a big deal for Dana Brown because there's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
You are the third GM of the Astros since this run really started in 2017. You don't want to be the GM that is the first one to not reach the ALCS. And if they don't, it will be judged by the fans, fairly or unfairly, based upon what happens at this trade deadline. Like, this is Dana Brown's moment, his first deadline as a GM. But we are going to be overly critical of Dana Brown if this Astros team fails to reach the ALCS for the seventh straight time because, you know, frankly, it's the expectation. That's what we expect the Astros to do, no matter how unrealistic it feels like it should be, but they just keep doing it over and over again. Yeah. This is a big moment for him. And like, he's been learning the farm system probably since he got here in January. Like, I'm fascinated how aggressive he will be.
Well, I actually saw Jeremy Branham put out a tweet, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, showing the last five or six World Series teams, that the trades that they made at the trade deadline, and they've all been pretty big, substantial trades.
Yeah, it's gonna be fascinating. All right, we got a couple things we got going on here. We're talking about our wall of shame of jerseys. We've got so far right now, we've got OJ Simpson and Michael Vick up there. Other suggestions on the text line, 6856, Key from LA says Michael Irvin. 0754 says James Harden. He just likes strip clubs. We're not retiring his jersey. He is Josh Beard. I am Joe George. Coming up next, the NFL doesn't like running backs. But do we? We tell you next here on the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it football season yet?
No feeling for the game at all, man. You'll win, but it'll just be numbers on a scoreboard. Numbers, that's all you care about, man. That's not enough for me.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, you're back inside the Bullpen with the producers from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Wait, who let those guys up here? Security? That's them right there. Right there.
Joe George and Josh Beard here with you on the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here with you till 2 o'clock. Texans training camp starts this week. And before we get into what's been going on with the running backs, just real quick, we'll make sure we got this in. Snowblack the Oracle asked on Twitch, will CJ Stroud sign his contract before Tuesday? Because obviously it's not been signed yet. Bryce Young signed his yesterday.
Yeah, 37 million.
Will Levis
million.
Reportedly, was that this morning?
Yeah.
Or late last night he signed his deal?
I think it was this morning.
So, you know, look, it's not untypical. That's, I don't know if that's even a good word.
I'll allow it.
Oh,
this
that's
time,
Lamont.
Yeah.
Duh. of course, that, like, I thought that was Lamont, but I wasn't sure. Thank you, B. Hannon. CJ will sign his contract before Tuesday, I believe. I would be shocked if he doesn't. And there's very little room in the negotiating like that you can do. These contracts are set. Like, the money value is set. It's really, there's some language that you can bicker over between the agent and the Texans. I am fascinated, like, of all the, you know, rookie contract discussions, I would be curious if it doesn't get done, like, how much that goes back to the Deshaun Watson stuff.
Yep.
Because David Mulugeta is CJ Stroud's agent. Like, is there stuff the Texans are trying to put in that maybe, like, they put in with Watson's rookie contract that they didn't like, that then They're now trying to prevent the Texans from doing this time. Like, there could be a couple different things, but, like, my expectation is that C.J. Stroud will sign his contract before Tuesday. And even if he doesn't, there's still a chance he's there.
Well,
there's a waivers he has to sign.
Yes.
About, like, injuries. And basically just being, like, we're not responsible. Or, like, once you do sign your deal, like, it'll go into effect. Like, all these different things. He'll be in training camp.
Yeah. For sure. There were rumors before the draft that C.J. Stroud said he wanted to be the highest paid rookie quarterback. Or he wanted to have the highest paid rookie quarterback contract.
Yeah.
And that also could be where things are hung up. Maybe he was waiting to see what the other contracts look like, or they were waiting to see what Bryce Young's contract looked like, what Will Levis's, Anthony Richardson, what those contracts look like before they finalize theirs. He's going to be at training camp. Like, there's no – it's very rare for a dude to get drafted and then just not sign or strong-arm his way to another team. The last time we really saw anything kind of in that same vein happen was when Daddy Manning said, no, Eli's not playing for the Chargers, and then they traded on draft night.
And it really hasn't happened, like, in terms of holdouts since
right.
Sam Bradford.
Yes.
Since
Sam Bradford. And that holdout slash contract changed the way rookie contracts were done for eternity.
Because it was just once you draft a guy, you can pay them whatever they want. Yeah, and these rookie quarterbacks were making more money than guys who have been established starters in the NFL. Yeah. So they had to change it to a whole new system. So, like, he'll be there. As long – and the only thing is, like – and we'll get to this in about 30 minutes from now. We really get into training camp and – kind of what we're looking for. He needs to be there because he needs to get every snap. Like, yeah. That's one of my biggest things for training camp.
Yes.
It's like, don't waste my time.
No, don't waste the fans' time. Don't waste the team's time. Don't waste anybody's time. They should hit the ground running. He needs to get as many snaps as possible. Mm-hmm. He needs to be working with the first team. He needs to start from day one. Like, there's no question in my mind about that for in any way whatsoever.
All right, so this week was franchise tag, or the guys who got franchise tagged. Yeah. And wanted to sign extensions. The deadline was Monday. Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs, and Saquon Barkley all failed to reach extensions with their team.
Yep.
You know, Dalvin Cook is sitting out there in free agency. It seems like he's waiting for either the Dolphins or the Jets, it seems like. That's where all the reports kind of indicate that one of those teams is going to pony up and eventually give him the money that he wants. Or he's waiting for an injury or see how, like, Breece Hall looks for the Jets. There's a bunch of different factors, right? Like, the running back market is severely, look, it's underpaid. The franchise tag is only like $10 million.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys, when you use them, are running to the ground for 5 years.
Yes, and like, then
they
hard.
And then they hit free agency, and no one wants to pay them. Or, like, with these three guys specifically, they just can't hit free agency.
Yeah.
Because these teams franchise tag them for 2 years, and they just want to move on.
And then by the time they get franchise tagged for 2 years, they're going to be at an age to where you just don't sign long-term contracts as a running back.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL as a whole really has the running back position in a horrible stranglehold. And I think it all comes down to being able to double franchise tag. I have not been a fan of it. I continue to not be a fan of it from the player standpoint, and really from the team standpoint too, because at some point it's crap or get off the pot, make a decision whether you want to keep a guy or move on, especially at the running back position. Now, from one angle, you look at this from a team's perspective, especially there's one team involved with these three running backs who just got done giving a running back a long-term deal that they just got out of whenever he wasn't running the way he was before, he was getting older, and they locked him up. That's the Dallas Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott. Yep. They literally just got out of a long-term contract with a guy who didn't need to be in that contract anymore. So I understand them not wanting to immediately go and give a long-term contract to a 25-year-old running back. I mean, the peak age for running backs in the NFL, and people are going to be like, well, but Adrian Peterson, or well, but Derrick Henry. The average peak age of running backs in the NFL is 23, 24 years old. The peak window is 22 to 28. So when you're talking about Saquon Barkley at 26, you're talking about Tony Pollard at 25, you're talking about these 25, 26, 27-year-old running backs, if the average maximum peak age is 28, last thing you want to do is be locked into a 29 or 30-year-old running back. Because they do get beat to crap. Like, they get destroyed. And so from the team perspective, I totally get it. I think that there are some mechanisms in place that are way in benefit of these teams, though, that are keeping these contracts really, really low. And from a team building perspective, it makes more sense to go and draft a running back or two, have a committee, and then spend your money elsewhere. Because if you spend money at quarterback, if you spend money on your offensive line, at pass rusher, cornerback, those at wide receiver, those positions in today's NFL are going to bring you more value. A great running back, a high level running back like a Christian McCaffrey, Saquon, is amazing to have. But it's the cherry on top of the ice.
And also, just it hasn't look. This is a copycat league, and when you talk about success, you know what does that mean? Well, Super Bowl championship is the ultimate form of success in sports. And if you look at the last five Super Bowl champions, there's been three running backs that were the leading rushers for those 5 years. Two of them were LeGarrette Blount on two different teams. Two of them were Sony Michel on different teams. He did it with the Rams and the Patriots.
Yep.
And then Isaiah Pacheco, who was a sixth round pick last year.
Well, so look at the Eagles who were in the Super Bowl. It was Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell.
And then they got rid of Miles Sanders and they brought in DeAndre Swift, who was on a bad contract, basically.
Yep.
And, you know, Rashad Penny. So, like, it just these teams who have success at the running back position, like, who have the elite running backs, like, they're not even doing anything with it. It's just like it's the center in the NBA. It's completely devalued. It's no longer a priority. And the thing is I know these running backs try to act like it's personal. Like, the way Saquon Barkley's like, bleep you, I just won't show up.
Yeah.
Like, that's like his
and
leverage.
And Josh Jacobs, too, yeah.
You know what, man? Here's the thing. They will miss you. But the Giants, at their peak, will still only be able to beat the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs with Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
The Josh Jacobs-led Las Vegas Raiders will still be the third or fourth worst team in the AFC West.
Yep.
Like, you're not going to beat the Chargers or the Chiefs because Josh Jacobs shows up. Tony Pollard, like, he might have a little more impact for the Dallas Cowboys, but, like, they could go sign Dalvin Cook right now and be just as good with that situation versus Pollard.
The drop-off, really, the term and the idea of the hero running back in the NFL is going away, especially when you look at a guy going into last season who was the consensus number one guy. He was, from a fantasy perspective, a dynasty perspective, from an actual NFL perspective, Jonathan Taylor was going to be that dude. And then he spent the entire season being injured, and they were just as successful as they were going to be with or without him.
Yep.
And when the value proposition in dropping off from a number one hero type running back to a committee is much lower than the drop off from losing a quarterback or losing a left tackle or losing a pass rusher, like, or losing a wide receiver. Like, Brandon Cooks arguably has more value to the Cowboys offense than Tony Pollard does.
I would think that's a very
fair statement. Wide receiver too.
Like, look at teams with young running backs and like how they've treated them. Now, yes, the Carolina Panthers went out and signed Miles Sanders, but they had Deontay Foreman last year, Texans legend. He rushed for 914 yards last year, was really one of the surprises of the NFL season. He got a one-year, $3 million deal with the Bears, and he might be the third running back on that team by week four. Like, he could be the starter, but, like, he also might be the third guy. And Deontay Foreman only rushed for 1,000 yards last year. Like, that used to mean something. Dalvin Cook rushed for 1,000 yards each of the last 4 years, and the Vikings cut him to run out Alexander Mattison, who has had success like every 3 weeks.
And Dwayne McBride.
And when Dalvin Cook gets hurt, like, they've just shown you that the running back position doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Just really quick, will we be talking about Damian Pierce holding out because the Texans franchise tagged him in like 3 years or whenever it comes up?
I mean, good luck. Like, draft a quarterback and let him hold out. Like, or draft a running back and let him hold out. Who cares?
Yeah.
Because the thing that's going to make the Texans successful is not Damian Pierce. It's C.J. Stroud and names like John Mechie and Will Anderson and Derek Stingley. It's not the Damian Pierces. Like, it sucks to say. And if you don't want people to say this about you, choose a different position, young running backs. They're the most replaceable position in the NFL.
Sadly,
other than kickers.
Yeah. And kickers on average make more than running backs.
Yes.
That's such a skewed stat, though. There's 32 kickers. There's like over 100 running backs in the NFL. That's such a skewed stat. But I get why you would use it. Be like, a kicker makes more than me. That sucks. All right, he's Josh Beard. I am Joe George. Last night, I was at the Sugarland Space Cowboys game, and Yordan Alvarez was in the lineup. But there was something that I saw last night for the first time that is probably going to be on its way to Major League Baseball. And we got to talk about it because the challenge rule is on its way. and it's awesome. That's next year on the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George and Josh Beard. Lamont says 1,000 yards in a 17-game season is not impressive. Fair. That's a very fair take. Like, I don't know. What should the expectation be now?
It depends on how those 1,000 yards are, how they get those 1,000
yards. Like, do we just bump it to 1,100 rushing yards, 1,200?
I think in today's NFL, if you're David Montgomery getting 1,000 yards on 0.62 yards per carry, it's not impressive. Mm-hmm. I know it was slightly more than that, but still, it's like, what was David Montgomery's average? Like 3 yards, 3.2 mm-hmm. yards? That's not impressive to me. I mean, it's fine. It's just, you're just a plotter. Like, you have a ton of attempts. I think in today's NFL, if you're somebody who can put up 1,000 yards rushing and like 500 or 600 yards receiving as well, I think that is the bellwether for are you an effective running back in today's game.
I would say, like, if you had like a perfect season or like ideal running back, I would be looking for that running back to have like 1,300 combined yards.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the perfect target.
Like, that's what I think. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, you're hoping that Bijan Robinson gets you 1,400 yards a season. It doesn't matter how he gets it, whether it's on the ground or through the air. Like, you want Bijan to get you 1,400 yards.
The Lions with Gibbs, too. Like, that's why those guys got drafted there, because they're extremely versatile dudes. Breece Hall, that's why the Jets, that's why he was so highly sought after. The Nick Chubbs of the world, right? Like, the guys they're not as useful. That's where hero running backs are no longer the guy who can just run between the tackles anymore. Hero running backs are the guys who can run between the tackles, they can run outside the tackles, they can pass block, and they can catch it out of the backfield. Like, those are the dudes that teams want.
So I'm born in 1992.
You're so young.
What are you, like 86?
Yeah. You're a very young gentleman.
I know.
You're a very young dude. I'm old and falling asleep at night.
So
way too early.
I was born in 1992, and throughout my childhood, I loved playing Madden and playing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mike Allstott,
and giving the ball to Mike Allstott.
I think every young suburban white boy loved the Mike Allstott offense.
Especially with the neck roll.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Like, those are the good years.
Yeah, that's all we've got. It's just, we're real slow, but we're big and lumbering. Yeah.
And then Peyton Hillis made like all of us feel
hopeful. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But like, yeah, you know, that's not, it's 31 years ago. And like, when I'm born, like the fullback position is super important. Like, Mike Allstott is like a household name in the late 90s, early 2000s. When Tampa Bay wins that first Super Bowl with John Gruden, or goes to the Super Bowl with John Gruden. I can't remember if they won or not. They did.
Yeah, they won. Yeah. Oh my God. Brad Johnson. So young, dude. Am I old for remembering that with Brad? I loved that team.
Well, that was like 2001, right?
2002. I was a sophomore in high school. What grade were you in?
2002, fifth grade.
Fifth grade.
I was still crying in diapers.
Oh, my God. I feel so – I have to walk into the ocean after this show now. Like, that's, so I'm just going to walk in and never come back.
So, if that's 2000 – let's call the line. Like, I'm guessing Mike Allstott retired in, like, 2005.
Yeah, I'd say it was, like, 2005, 2006.
So, that's 18 years ago.
Yeah.
In 18 years from now, when my son can legally buy alcohol finally because he's 2 years old.
Right.
Will we have any running backs that are like Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb in the NFL?
I think so, yes.
I don't think so.
I think we will. Derrick Henry sneakily can catch the ball out of the backfield.
But he doesn't.
He does and he can, but they don't use him in that way often. Yeah. I still think that there are going to be guys that are just – the skill set's going to change, right? Like, so I think there will be guys that will have that size and that ability to just hit and run – And they'll just be bigger than everybody else. But what we could start to see is, well, maybe not with the money the way it is. They might go more towards like receiver and defense.
That's why I think that in the next 15, 20 years.
We just don't see it?
I think they're just going to be gone. Like, the closest thing you're going to have to a Derrick Henry is going to be a guy like Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
A majority of the running backs in the NFL are going to be Deebo Samuel.
But I could also see a shift in the philosophy, right? Because the philosophy has changed. We're still in the middle of this, like, this changing of the guard with how the running back position it works, how it's paid, and how the teams utilize it. In 15 years, there could be a shift to where the same that we could still get the same type of athleticism. But think about like the center and the power forward position in the NBA today compared to where it was 15 to 20 years ago. Right. All of a sudden, you get a couple of guys like Dirk. You get a KG, some dudes who can play a little bit off the ball, who can play in the perimeter, who can shoot. And now you're working with guys like Joel Embiid and Joker, who are just like the craziest phenom basketball players for that position.
And that's what we're going to is like a majority are going to be like Deebo, and like that's going to be like the new like center.
NBA. That's a fair point. Almost like positionless.
Like exactly. Yeah. Like I think that's where we're headed. And like you know, Jeremy and Joel and I have talked about this a little bit. They think it's going to take longer than that. I think in the next 15 years. Like the way the money, it's all about money.
Yeah.
Money changes the world. Like there are more, they're not as publicly like gross as this baby Gronk thing and like his dad.
Oh man, I just want to
punch that dad in the face.
I'm trying to be a less aggressive person these days. Like in my older years, I'm becoming more calm and chill. I was going to say throat, but I think the face works too. You do more damage in the throat, though. That guy's just the worst.
But like there are more dads like that out there. That are going to say, look at this money in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, there are more LeVar Balls out there. Like, they're going to tell their sons, you're not playing running back anymore. You only play wide receiver. And the only way you're playing running back is if you catch the ball 10 times a game out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're heading there, and I think we're heading there quickly, into which the center position in the NBA is going to be the running back position. And honestly, like, it wouldn't shock me if how it's been removed from all NBA. Like, all NBA, it's positionless.
Yeah.
It's the five best players in the NBA. I don't think it is crazy to say that in the next 15 years, the running back position will be, like, removed from, like, all NFL.
And you just have athletes who can do that while playing receiver. I mean, Bijan was the best slot receiver in the draft. I mean, JSN, QJ, all these guys, at 140-mile-an-hour Jordan Addison, like, all of these guys who came out of the wide receiver position, Bijan was the best slot receiver in this draft, as well as the best running back in the draft.
Yeah. You got something, John?
No, I was just attentively listening. Okay. I was thinking, like, I wonder how much money they're going to be.
So that's where, like, to me, like, you know, like it's funny because then like to kind of circle it back here, it's like you have like a Tank Dell who I still kind of wonder like if they're going to use in that Deebo thing. But
he's so small. That's the problem.
But the one thing I can't wait for is that if we're kind of right here about where this is heading, you brought up Joel Embiid and like Nikola Jokic, the NFL equivalent of that is like Derrick Henry combined
playing
with
a
Bijan
receiver
Robinson.
Do you want to know who
that, like, can ground and pound but then can catch like a slant and go for 90?
That's gonna be wild.
Can't wait.
Like LeBron James playing a Deebo Samuel type position. You know who I think would be a great candidate for that if their offense wasn't horrible, if Arthur Smith wasn't a boob of a coach? Kyle Pitts fits that bill almost perfectly. A couple of names that I want to bring up that I think we're heading in that direction. Treylon Burks and Jonathan Mingo. If you look at Jonathan Mingo, his route tree now going to the Panthers for his rookie season, he doesn't run a lot of deep stuff. He doesn't run a lot of posts and corners. It's all a lot of out routes, in routes, slants, and curls.
Yeah.
And he's very successful with them. But it's because he's wildly athletic. So you're starting to see the Deebos and the Treylon Burks and the Jonathan Mingos get drafted at that receiver position. But they can run that position in a multitude of different ways. They can go in the backfield if you need them to go in the backfield, and it's becoming more of there's the receivers who are the route technicians, there's the receivers who are just the really fast deep threat, and then there's the receivers who are just crazy athletic with size. Those are the ones who I think you're right. If you're right, those are the ones that are going to be playing receiver, but running back as well. And the first team to really start to do that and figure it out, because there's been a guy in the league who was kind of the first that we saw with that, and no team knew how to use him until he went to Atlanta, and that's Cordarrelle Patterson. Mm-hmm. No team knew how to use him as a receiver. No team knew how to use him other than as a returner, and then all of a sudden he goes to Atlanta, and they're like, hey,
let's mess around and do some things. And he has a couple of really, really good seasons. And that's where guys like Debo now is like, oh, you know, they start to see we can use these guys.
Like,
in
what if,
ways.
Like, I don't know, anyone in 2005 had a brain in Chicago
and said,
hey, let's put Devin Hester in the backfield and, like, see what happens. All right, he's Josh Beard. I'm Joe George. A quick observation from the Space Cowboys game last night. Also, what are we looking forward to the most in training camp? What position battles stick out? We'll kind of revisit the C.J. Stroud contract. That's next year on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassy.
Penguin goalie Peter Skudra says, hey, try not to shoot that puck up my pooper. I'll shoot the puck anywhere I want. And if that happens to be in your pooper, so be it.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.